Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the Caramel Kid?
What? I'm good. How's Sean Sean the White Devil?
He's a bit jealous because he heard, letting you behind the curtain, I was just listening in there when Jermaine's lovely girlfriend, she just brought him a cup of tea, and I've not had a cup of tea today. So I'm jealous over here. I need a cup of tea. Where's Molly?
She did offer to make you a cup because I was complaining about what cup I got it in.
And tell the listeners what cup you got, Jermaine.
They've been Snow White. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that would have been more fitting for me, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm Snow White and you're the evil... Was it the Wicked Witch? The Dark Wicked Witch.
Anyway, oh boy.
How are you doing? How's been your week off? What have you been up to?
Week off has been chilling and stuff.
But other than that, are you running at all? Are you getting out and running in your week off? Have you refound the love for running in this period of time? Have you got some time off?
I'm trying now, but it's cold, you know. I'm tropical. I'm trying to set myself 30 minutes, and I've been trying to do that every other day.
Oh, nice. Okay. Does it feel hard work?
Yeah, it feels like tempo.
Does it?
30 minutes easy and it feels like tempo. But I'm sort of doing it for like football fitness, and also I've got to get ready for I'm joining the RAF part-time.
Yeah, okay.
So reserves.
Yeah.
So obviously I've got to get ready for the fitness.
Yeah, okay. And is it just hard? Are you carrying more weight? Is it hard work just or are you just aerobically just out of shape?
Yeah, aerobic. Because I maintain my weight to about, must be like 85. 83 kilos.
Yeah, okay.
But then, yeah, heart and lungs. It used to be Ferrari, now it's like Skoda.
It needs a tune-up. It needs more than a tune-up, it needs an overhaul, right?
But, yeah, that's about it. But what about you? How's the running going? Because obviously after the marathon, you're tired and stuff. What's going on?
I haven't run a step yet. I haven't run a step since the marathon, and I'm not going to run a step for another week, I think. So
okay. Yeah,
nothing else. Nothing. I'm kind of not in the mood. I've not really felt the urge to go out and do it. I will do soon, I guess. But right now I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm just gonna not bother and see how it goes for a couple of weeks, and then after another week I'll then start jogging again and see how that goes, and I might start picking it up then. But yeah, it feels good. It feels nice not to have to run. I kind of think
not. Okay. You've got to do and find something to your spare time when you don't run. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been sinking my focus into a bit of work and things. We've got some exciting interviews coming up, which should be great. And I've been doing other things with work. So yeah. And to be fair, I should be doing more with my wife Molly, as we've got 4 weeks to go till the baby comes. So we've been buying cots and all that stuff. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good. I want to run again. I don't think I'm done. But it's nice not
to
do it.
I guess that comes to our new challenge that we're going to set.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been thinking about it. We've been thinking, like, we really enjoyed that Project 220. But we both like to give something a go. We both like to do something on the show again.
You mean Sean's pulled my arm to join in this time?
I've roped Jermaine in. We're going to do it together. But we're trying to think of what to do. We've had a few thoughts. We thought it might be funny to do a Tough Mudder. Get us out there, both of us. Team, let's get running at the Tough Mudder. That was an idea. We thought about both of us trying to get ready for the national cross country, our last national cross country, which is in February.
We would be, no. We will be back with the heavy rollers. We'll be back. We'll be way back.
I'm not sure where it is this year. I didn't even look because I just didn't consider doing it. But, like, yeah, well, that could be fun, doing the national cross country champs. We did not think about doing some Saharan Desert Challenge. We can't be bothered to get out there, and we can't be bothered to run for 6 days. So let's make that clear. But we thought what would be funny is if actually we gave the opportunity for people who were interested to let us know what they think we should do. So we're welcoming.
And whoever gives us the suggestions, we'll do votes.
Yeah.
So for the most suggestions, and also the people put the suggestions in, they also have to participate.
That's true. So you can't be putting up any mental challenges, like you've got to go underwater swimming for 6 hours and then dive in loads of cow shit. That sort of race, we're not interested in. Because you've got to do it yourself. If we commit to it, you've got to do it with us. So if you want to do that, the best way to probably get us involved is either to do it on Twitter, to tweet us saying your new challenge should be, and then the new challenge, tagging us in at Let's Get Running. And you could always put hashtag Caramel Kid White Devil on there. That'd be quite interesting. So that'd be good. So try and put it on Twitter, and we will decide which is best, and then we'll have a vote. We'll vote which is the funnest challenge. But yeah, so that should be fun. I quite fancy a bit of the ultimate
or we could do a race in a fancy dress costume.
We could.
Because I've always wanted to write. We could do the pencil. I know some of my friends are haunted by pencils.
In Dave Reagan's sleep at night, he sees the pencil. Yeah, that could be fun. If you could think of like a fun world record we could set. I'm not sure we're in shape to do superhero, like Paul Martelletti in 2:30, but
it'd have to be a really bad costume because the shape we're in, well, you'll be all right. The shape I'm in, I have to be like a snail or something. You know,
who was that guy who used to run with a fridge on his back? Do you remember him?
No.
I think he got himself into a bit of trouble. I can't remember what. I don't want to slur and besmirch his name, but I think he got himself into a bit of bother for some reason. But anyway, that could be fun. If you can think of a fun challenge for us to do, we will take it on. It's good if it's something that we can find experts in the field about, if you know what I mean. So if it is you want us to do like a Tough Mudder, we can get hold of someone who is a champion, you know, Tough Mudder. I do actually, I coach a couple of guys who are sort of world level OCR, which is obstacle course racing guys. So if that is what someone want to do, we can get advice from them. Something will benefit other people. Do you know what I mean? So if you want to do like something, I don't know, a race that doesn't is not a bit of niche, it's not really going to benefit lots of people. So we'll choose things that are good, make good shows and good, are useful to other people. Does that make sense?
And banter.
And banter. We need two things. Banter and interest. Banter and interest brought together in one show. So that should be good. But now we're going to start doing a new feature. This is going to be a fortnightly feature that we're going to focus. We wanted to find something that's useful to you as runners. And we thought one thing we all suffer from, I think there's a statistic saying about 80% of all runners in the course of a year will be injured. So we thought what we could do on a fortnightly basis going forward is to look at common running injuries, speak to a big physio in the game, see what they think about it, see what it's causing it, how you can treat it and the best way to move forward with it. And if there's any new thinking on different injuries, and then bring it to you guys as a show. So the first of our shows is going to be about one of the evilest injuries in the world, plantar fasciitis. Have you had it before, Dwayne?
I have. Luckily, only towards the end of my career. I didn't have it when I was in my prime.
Okay.
But it's horrible.
Yeah.
You?
No, not properly. I've had, you know, when you just get a little bit of a niggle in your plantar, which is, if people don't know what we're talking about, it's underneath the foot, like the sole of the foot. It's between the ball of your feet and your heel, that area there, that.
Yeah, so basically it's the tendon between, like, that goes from the lower Achilles around the base of your heel to almost the middle of your foot.
Okay, right.
So if you've got pain anywhere in that region, that could be classed as plantar.
Okay, right. And it's such a pain to get rid of, isn't it?
Well, the problem is like to get it diagnosed first, because all depends where it is. Sometimes you just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You think, oh, why is it hurting there? And like, I had mine almost on my Achilles, so like on the back of the heel. So yeah. I thought there was a problem with my Achilles. I was like, you know, it's so low, you know, I was thinking, and then you wear your shoes and they rub. You think, oh, maybe my shoes are rubbing.
Yeah.
So you don't know what the problem is. You think, why is it hurting so much? And then someone says, oh, you've got plantar. You're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it. Once it's set in, it's really tough to get rid of, I guess.
Yeah, because it's in, basically when it's inflamed, it's blooming horrible.
Yeah.
So the first thing you need to do is like make the inflammation go down, which could take a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then you just got to do like, you got to like massage, exercise, it's like exercising, trying to break it up, stretch it and then strengthen.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really, really long process and you've almost got to, and if you do nothing,
yeah,
the pain goes away. But as soon as you start running again, it'll start hurting again. Because I know a runner, Andy Rayner,
yeah,
he had it. He stopped running for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then he came back thinking, I'll be all right now. And it was hurting again. So you've almost got to train through it because you've got to strengthen and stretch it.
Yeah, okay. And I know Ben Dickner, a friend of mine, he came back and he was running really well. And then he got plantar fasciitis and it ruined his career, ended it. Yeah, I've not seen him run since. I mean, he probably got disillusioned and got into donuts and stuff, but
cream cakes. I always called him cream cake. He loves a cream cake. But his brother, Frank Tickner, was a really, really good crossfit. He had the exact same problem.
Did he? Okay.
And in the end, because it's like you get so bogged down, like depressed, because your body feels all right, but then you've got a little pain in your foot and you can't run because it's so painful. Yeah. You end up giving up.
Yeah, because it's right in that spot, isn't it? You can't walk around. You can't ignore it. You can kind of ignore a tight hamstring and that sort of thing in certain instances, but you just can't ignore. Your foot's got to hit the ground, so you're going to feel it every time, aren't you? Which is pain in the ass.
And even when you're like resting it, you know, like you're trying to sleep and you land on your back and it's like you think, oh, that's sore. So yeah. But like I was trying to do everything. I put like special in wedges in my shoes to sort of raise my arches a bit. I was wearing like special plantar socks from CEP.
Yeah.
When I did my training and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just trying to do everything. But yeah, for me, it took about 4 months to get rid of.
Oh, Jesus. I'm glad I haven't had it. Touch some wood. Well, we've got Noel Thatcher, England Athletics Hall of Famer and physio. He's going to be talking to us in a second about plantar fasciitis and about how you, what it's all about and how you can treat that injury now. So we're going to go to Noel now. Here we are. So on this morning's new feature, Injury Corner, with Noel and Scott, I am talking to Noel Thatcher. How are you doing, Noel?
I am awesome. How are you, Sean?
I'm very, very well. And as well as being an England Athletics Hall of Famer, you are a very good, very capable of saying physiotherapist. Whereabouts are you based?
So I'm based at the Holly Private Hospital, which is in Buckhurst Hill, so North East London Essex borders. Actually, as we were saying just now before we started recording, it's the bit that people tend to forget about me in terms of the Paralympic career is obviously well documented. But I qualified as a physio 25 years ago, and I've been working consistently ever since around all the other stuff I've done. So it's that's my main gig, effectively.
Yeah, did physiotherapy come before the athletics career?
They sort of came along together. I actually did my first Paralympic Games at the end of my second year physio degree, which was a bit of a challenge to say the least. So I've kind of. I didn't get into physio because of running or vice versa, but certainly, you know, my experiences as a physio helped my running, and my experiences as a runner certainly formulate significant part of how I manage running-related injuries.
Yeah, okay.
And I've been really lucky to work with some amazing physios along the line. You know, Neil Black, who's now performance director of British Athletics, and a host of others managing my injuries, and that's given me, you know, a really fantastic opportunity to learn and improve my practice.
Excellent. And so over the next few months, we're going to be talking about various common running problems for running injuries for people out there, and we're going to try and decide why they come up necessarily, or and how we can treat them if they do tend to rear their ugly head. And our first one we're going to start with is plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, the dreaded plantar fasciitis. Yeah.
So we'll start by discussing what is it? What is a plantar, and what is fasciitis?
Okay. So the plantar fascia is the connective tissue on the sole of your foot that runs from the heel bone, calcaneus, all the way to your toes. And it basically supports the arch of the foot and assists with propulsion, so pushing off toe off when you walk and run.
Okay.
And plantar fasciitis is the most commonly sort of recognized term. It's the term that's out there in most running literature. Itis refers to the fascia, and the itis refers to inflammation. There's a lot of debate out there as to whether inflammation is the primary sort of pain driver in the condition. Given that it goes on for an awful long time, we know, and far so exceeds the length of time that it takes inflammation to resolve. The research now have moved towards more of a sort of tendinopathy type descriptor. The tissue starts to break down, the collagen that makes it up starts to break down, new blood vessels growing, new nerve endings growing, which makes it incredibly painful and sensitive to loading. And loading, for all intents and purposes, when you're talking about running, is the running type, you know, speed, frequency, duration of the running that you're doing.
Yeah, okay. So what generally, obviously we all have aches and pains as runners, how do we know something like this is starting to affect us? Are there any particular symptoms we should look out for?
Yeah, so typically in the early stages, what you'll find is that your feet might feel a little bit tight after you've done, given that plantar fascia tends to be a facet of increasing speed when you're running, more than volume. You know, typically, you know, you might do put your spikes on for the first time in a few weeks, or put a new pair of low profile racing flats on, go out, you know, whack out 10 times 400 or do a hill session, wake up the next morning, you feel a little bit sore.
Yeah.
Your feet feel a little bit sore, sorry. That eases off a little bit as you walk around, and then, you know, you don't make any training adjustments, and you keep going, and the stiffness in the morning, the intensity of the pain gets worse, the stiffness gets worse, it takes relatively longer to settle down, and then it can actually start to affect your ability to particularly, you know, run at speed, get up on your toes, do the harder sessions. And I think this is why one of the challenges for us as physios is that, because people are used to having aches and pains when they go out running, and if every time, you know, you woke up in the morning feeling a bit stiff, you saw a physio, you know, I'd be living in Marbella in a mansion. you know, so people don't tend to report it, and it's not until we get into this kind of more chronic, persistent sort of degenerative type phase that people present. I mean, there are instances where, you know, the plantar fascia can actually tear or even rupture, and we've seen that a couple of times in international championships with athletes in jumpers, triple jumpers, and the like, you know, putting incredible sort of levels of force through their plantar fascia. So, you know, if you're jumping, you know, triple jump, you're probably looking at, you know, upwards of 10, 15 times your body weight going through your foot. So obviously if you're fatigued, that can then, so those sort of conditions, they're very easy to spot because people are in shed loads of pain, hobbling around it, and, you know, can't weight bear at all. Now that's get yourself to A&E type situation, but most of the plantar fascia, fasciopathy or fasciitis that we see, is in that chronic stage.
Okay, so with that in mind, what is where would you say it starts to go from being a niggle to being something you should definitely go and get checked out? Is there some telltale sign that tell you that this is serious?
When it's not responding to sort of, you know, simple sort of adjustments in your training. So you again, getting back to that sort of track session scenario, if you then put your trainers on with the higher heel profile, a little bit of support, and you jog around for a couple of days and your morning symptoms have sort of disappeared, then I think you're fine. You know, so basically you can use your morning pain, the levels of pain and the stiffness as a guide to, you know, how, I don't use the word serious, but how significant the symptoms are. So when it's not responding to simple things like that, then I think you really need to get along to a physio and actually and have it assessed. Firstly, you know, to ensure that you're actually dealing with plantar fasciitis or plantar fasciopathy, because there are a number of other conditions that manifest themselves in the same way. Certain nerve entrapments, calcaneal stress fractures, for instance, can present with similar types of symptoms. And a physio can help you sort of work that up.
Yeah.
And guide you back to, you know, appropriate levels of activity.
Yeah. Okay. And when it's when you realize you have this symptom, what sort of things can you do? Obviously, the physio is very important to diagnose it. But what things can you do to treat this? this condition?
Well, I think given we know how it comes on, yeah, you know, we think we know how this comes on. So increasing the intensity of your activity, potentially, you know, where, as I said, wearing spikes for the first time in a while, you know, so to typically, you know, not having done track sessions in spikes, rather than putting your spikes on and whacking out some 200s or 300s,
yeah.
you can not do that, which should be okay, which should be a really good starting point. Yeah, so I think it's really important for people to and this is more challenging for those people who don't have a coach,
yeah,
to monitor their training and to and keep them in check when they get inspired by watching the Ingebrigtsens and decide they want to go and, you know, hammer some 200s. Yeah. But it's important for you to monitor, you know, your training and to have a real understanding of the entire, you know, the training process and pathway. So looking at this over months and looking for those little spikes,
yeah,
in loading. So, you know, as I mentioned, you know, wearing spikes and doing the speed work when you haven't done that for a while, you know, doing more speed work with less recovery, you know, really pushing. And also, you know, the other non-loading sort of variables that influence injuries. So, you know, when you're tired, you've been out on the lash a couple of nights and the trot, you know, mm-hmm. you've been ill, you've had other injuries which haven't really, you know, so we see people with patellofemoral pain or hip pain that go on to develop plantar fasciopathy because they haven't really had the first injury, you know, diagnosed and managed that particularly well. And now their gait's changed and the loading of the tissue. So for me, the big one is getting patients to understand that kind of loading profile. And I always sort of equate it to looking at a profile map of a running course, you know, so, you know, some hills and some valleys, and you know what we shouldn't see with your training is sudden sharp spikes. You know, we should see a sort of undulating course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If that makes any sense,
it does.
At all,
it but. Does make sense. Yeah. Yeah. So that, yeah, yeah, perfect sense. And what once someone has gone to a physio, what sort of things can you prescribe to manage this condition?
I mean, if it's in its acute phase, so you can't really do very much running, then the priority is obviously getting the pain under control and getting some load away from the irritated fascia. So in terms of pain relief, then, you know, your traditional physiotherapy, manual therapy to the sole of the foot. Sometimes we find that because of the pain, joints of the rear foot or the midfoot have locked up a little, got stiff, and that's contributing towards the stresses on there. So, you know, manual therapy there can be useful. Orthotics can be in the short term, and I emphasize in the short term, can be incredibly helpful for getting some load off there. Some people are very intolerant to a rigid orthotic, like an off the peg orthotic that you might buy in the chemist, and yeah. So softer orthotics are usually better tolerated. Tape can be useful. Some adjuncts as well. We use at the Holly where I work, we use extracorporeal shockwave, which is quite effective in managing pain with some people.
Yeah.
Not all. And if it's not having a positive effect, we won't use it. You know, dry needling. There are lots of adjuncts. I think my real issue is what tends to happen is that certainly, and this is the way the running literature would present things, is that, you know, we'll hear shockwave's great for plantar fasciopathy, or we'll hear, you know, tape is great for plantar fasciopathy, or we'll hear recently, you know, exercise and particularly heavy slow resistance type exercise, the same sort of exercise that you might use to treat an Achilles, has come into, has been some significant research that suggests that that may be helpful. But people look at this as a single one interventional process, where in fact, you need to understand how much you can run and how often at what sort of intensity. You need to sort of address any strength deficits. You need to even sometimes address some of the sort of emotive side of pain and lots of education. And it's and the other stuff like the shockwave and the dry needling and the soft, they're adjuncts to that process. So they're part of that process.
Yeah. Okay. And that kind of ties in a little bit with my next question is there any particular, you've already discussed about sort of picking up, the intensity and doing any faster work. Is there anything else that is maybe technique wise or any flaws that might lead to this coming up?
There have been some suggestions that, you know, high levels of vertical loading. So basically, you know, when you run, you know, those the very bouncy runners,
yeah,
you sort of sprint up in the air and land, they tend to be going up and down more than they're going forward.
Yeah,
they may be putting sort of extra stresses through that, and or even if you are that sort of runner and don't normally have problems, but you do have plantar fasciopathy, then in the short term, increasing your cadence by 5 to 10%, that's the figure that's often quoted, can reduce that vertical bounce, you know, the bounciness in the running, and that can reduce the stresses. But I think there's not a huge amount of research suggesting that long term that's going to be helpful. In the short term, you probably find your own way. You know, you'll know that when you do that kind of spring, it hurts more than doing short shuffly steps.
Yeah.
So you kind of, people are very good at sort of self adjusting for, or self modulating, you know, for pain.
Yeah.
For me, though, I think it is all about sort of working out how tolerant this plantar fascia is. You know, so when we get people in the slightly sort of load intolerant phase, so they find they can't deal with the amount of running they're doing, then we have to sort of get, you know, trim things back a little bit. It's very, very rare. I mean, unless someone comes in with like pain 9 out of 10 and they're hobbling around and can't walk, well, we're going to say don't do any running at all.
Yeah.
So if people's gaits are reasonably normal and they're walking and their stiffness in the mornings there for like 20 minutes, you can usually get them doing something. It may not be every day, maybe, you know, every other day. And we want to monitor the pain during the 24 hours following the training. So the pain during running is not necessarily a great gauge. But if you know, you've run 5 miles at 8 minute miling and, you know, you're sore for 4 days after that, you know, that is way too much. And we've got to get you back to the point where your symptoms settle within 24 hours in order for us to sort of then be able to push on. And that's quite hard, you know, to take. That's the bit that runners find incredibly challenging, having that patience and having that discipline. But what we do know about plantar fasciopathy, and I'm sure you've got listeners out there who've had it, is it can drag on for months and months and months. And, you know, that load tolerance, you know, for some people, you know, going forwards can literally mean, you know, an extra half mile, you know, twice a week in the short stages. But you know, given that when I was training with Dave Moorcroft and he had symphysis pubitis, his first run was a minute. You know, and he built himself back up to being able to run 13 minutes, 5,000. Right. You know, patience is a virtue. And those people who demonstrate high levels of patience generally do really well with any running injury.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Great. Well, that's I hope that's helped everybody out there who might be suffering from this. I know it's an awful injury to have. And fingers crossed this has been a bit useful to all those out there that might be suffering.
Well, I hope so. As I said, you know, there's no one quick fix. You know, things aren't settling down with simple changes to your training, like reducing the intensity and frequency a little bit, possibly putting, you know, different shoes on. You know, if your morning pain and stiffness still not settling down, you know, and it's starting to interfere with the running and, you know, your training progress, then get yourself along to a physio. At least get an opinion of that. You know, 30, 45 minutes is well spent, and it can save you a lot of anguish further on.
Yeah, excellent. Great. Well, thanks, Noel. Thanks for the tips, and we'll hopefully pick up again soon.
Absolutely, Sean. Thanks very much. Cheers.
So nice interview there with Noel. Hopefully some useful information for warding off the old plantar there. And if you are suffering from it, I apologise. Sorry about that. You've got a long stretch out, but fingers crossed you can deal with it after Noel's excellent advice. So nice. We should have a look at the reviews, Jermaine.
We should. We want to see what the man them is doing, you know. We want to see what the man them is saying, you know.
Well, we have switched. We are switching. We are not going to look at the iTunes review because we usually do it every fortnight, and we have a few reviews to talk about there. We are switching because we are up on YouTube. We are down with the kids. We are covering platforms all over the place. So if you want to listen at work, you want to put on YouTube. I mean, the video is not enough. You can't see us do anything, but you can listen to the audio. That'd be great. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That comes up every week at the same time as the podcast comes up. Had a nice little. We were looking at our last episode, the Project 220 finale. Well, that wasn't our last. It was our one before last. We've got a lovely little comment on there from Tom Brownlee, which I gave a nice like to. It was the episode about me and the Frankfurt Marathon. and talking about the man who'd shit himself as he ran past us.
Yeah.
So it's not a review to speak of, but Tom said a lovely little message. He said, "We need to lose Mr. Stinker," and he gave me a little emoji at the end there. So Baxter, we like comments on things. It's good. It's very good.
We don't like people that doo-doo themselves, you know.
We don't, no. if you're really that desperate, just stop and have a shit. We're not going to make the Olympics. Don't worry about it. That's my message. So yeah, thanks for helping out the show there, Tom, by giving a comment. If anyone else subscribes to our YouTube channel, that's good. We're going to put some other content up there every now and again as well, which should be fun. So join in with our YouTube thing. It's good to help us support the show by commenting and that sort of thing. So thanks for us. Talking about supporting the show, vests and shirts are up there now. We want people to buy the vest. It does help us keep the show going.
It's still cold. It ain't vest season, you know.
Yeah, but still, people need to race in something. So the vest is good. We've got a real limited run on those. We've got a very few. So if you want one, I'd get on there quick. And if there's not your size, there is an option to request your size and we'll try and get some more done. So yeah, get on there, look at the vest. They're pretty nice. I wore it in the Frankfurt Marathon.
If people get the vest, are they like officially in the Let's Get Running racing?
No, that doesn't. They can join our Strava club. They can wear the vest. I've got a we're going through a process of registering an England Athletics run club, and at that
really?
Point, yeah, I'm going through a process of that. At that point, I will let you know how you can be an official affiliate member or second claim member or whatever.
So does that mean if you do that, that means you can like enter 6 stage and 12 stage and stuff?
Yeah. You've given me an
That's
idea.
That's crazy. I like even the nationals.
Yeah.
Could have people.
Yeah.
That's madness.
Although technically, because for example, I'm first claim Highgate Harrier. I need to renounce my first claim Highgate Harrier to be able to compete in the national. I don't think you can compete as a second claim runner. So
it's true.
Complicated rules. So it needs to be people.
Because you can't if your first claim club. Compete in what your second claim club want to do. So say if you the road relays,
yeah,
then you can't do it.
Yeah, so technically I'd have to renounce Highgate, which I'd feel bad about. But maybe.
I'm fine. I'm solo.
You're solo. You can do it. So we need loads of old retired runners to make a comeback and join the Let's Get Running team. I'll give you details when it is finalised. But in the meantime, vests are there and shirts, T-shirts are there. And it's great if you can support the show. Help us grow by buying one of those T-shirts. Thanks. Yeah. So what have you got planned for the last couple of days of your holiday?
I've got football tonight and then football Sunday.
Ah, lovely. Is your career going as well as Usain Bolt's career?
Not at the moment because... So I went to my first 11-a-side match.
Yeah.
I spent 60 minutes as linesman. and then I was complaining. So they let me play, the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And and obviously they're like, "Oh, you're all right." But they say, "Yeah, come again." So they want me to come to be linesman. So basically, I'm the fittest linesman in the league.
You get all the decisions right because you're there in the right place. Yeah.
No, and even then they were complaining because... You know, like linesman only controls one half of the pitch.
Yeah.
But the ball's on my side of the pitch.
Yeah.
But at the other end.
Yeah.
And it must have been like, you know, when two people go for the ball and the ball goes out. And the ref was there and the ref didn't want to make the call because everyone was getting tired and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he goes, "Oh, what's the linesman say?" And I didn't see shit. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, "Oh, I'll just give it to the opposition."
Yeah.
And then my whole team thought I was against them. So you're on our team, you're supposed to make give it our way. I said, "I don't care. I don't want to be linesman." Good team spirit.
Everyone's having a nice time. Great. Lovely. Well, enjoy the game. Fingers crossed you get more than 20 minutes action. Well, I just suddenly thought there, what am I up to? I thought I'm off to a breastfeeding course, but later on.
Can I join you?
so,
that, might,
yeah.
that might be good for the next injury corner. You know, stress fracture. You know, you need special breast.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's hope. Well, actually, to be honest, I'm only cycling my wife there, Molly. She's gonna do that, and I'm gonna wait in a cafe for her because I can't. Cycle down.
Two-seater.
She's got her own bike, but I didn't want her cycling and the baby in the dark on her own. So I'm gonna cycle with her and look after her there. And then this weekend we're having some time with friends, making some cots and that sort of thing, getting baby ready. Can't wait.
Okay. Very exciting. Like wicker cots.
Yeah. No, we went and did the old IKEA thing, and we bought this thing called a bed nest, which is like you put it next to the bed, and then the mum hasn't got to go very far; she can just roll over and like it's connected to the bed, and you can just pick the baby up and went in the first few months. Yeah, this is boring to people who already have children, but yeah, so we got those two things. It's very boring. Even to me, it sounds boring.
Or interesting to people. Interesting to people that have never had children.
Yeah. Interesting to about 1% of people. So we won't dwell on it. But anyway, it should be exciting. A good weekend of baby stuff, and we'll see. But get those challenge requests in, everybody. Get them on Twitter. We'd like to hear what you think would be interesting.
Yeah.
And then we'll
be generous. On. Be generous.
Be generous. Yeah.
Not too tough.
Yeah. Remember, Jermaine's only training at the moment is running up and down the sideline, so you've got to be easy on it. Nice one. Well, enjoy your tea and your final day, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, cool.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.